B-Pod Studios.
Brandon Lee Gouton joins us. What's up, Brandon?
Morning, guys. Sounds like a good conversation going this morning.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're not even going to talk about football. Would you spend $8,000 for a barrel of whiskey?
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
See? Okay. I you know what? Maybe I would. If Brandon Lee Gouton's doing it, then I might do it. Brandon, you know, we all have this concern now about baseball, and that's an obvious one, given what happened with the Marlins. And then, shortly thereafter, players are reporting to training camp, and then shortly thereafter, players are saying thanks, but no thanks to the 2020 NFL season. Do you think with, what, two dozen players saying thanks, but no thanks, do you think that's only the tip of the iceberg so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's until August 4th at the earliest, really, is when the opt-out deadline can be here. So there's still quite a few days here before we get to that point, and players have this time. And really, I was thinking about it yesterday when I'm seeing, okay, six New England Patriots players opting out. And I'm thinking to myself, like, doesn't it make it more likely that more players are going to opt out when they're seeing their teammates and like good ones that might also not be playing? So almost like some kind of waterfall effect here. So I definitely think there's going to be more opt outs to come. It's just really, it's really hard to imagine how things are going to go off at a hitch here when you look at what happened with the Marlins and you just look at football and just the nature of the game. You know, we've talked about this all offseason, but just about how there's so much contact. There's just so many people, the roster size. It's not in the bubble like the NBA or the NHL is doing. It's just there's a lot of complications here.
Now, we're talking to Brandon Lee Gouton on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. The other thing is, I believe contact drills start the second week of August, or excuse me, almost the third week of August, August 17th to September 6th, they start up. Could that be another spike with guys starting to hit each other in practice? Maybe, no, I'm not talking about a spike in coronavirus cases. I'm talking about a spike in players thinking to themselves, maybe this isn't the best idea.
Well, they can't at that point. They have to do, you know, they have to opt out by that deadline next week. So, and then it's final either way, if they're doing it or not. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting here, just this whole ramp-up thing. I mean, basically, players reported, quote-unquote, to the training camp yesterday for the first time. But, I mean, it's just for testing. And then I think they're coming back today for another round of testing. And, you know, it's kind of just ramping up until, like you said, there's actual hitting and pads on in mid-August there. So they're still not even super close to getting this thing started. And it just really begs the question, you know, is the season going to be able to start in time? What happens if there are setbacks, like there were in baseball or there have been in baseball so far? It's all still up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, the thing that I'm really looking at right now with football is that I am really confident that football will start on time. I really don't have much of a question about it. What I have the most doubt about is whether or not they will actually finish and how far they actually get into the season. Where are you on your confidence level in these guys being able to keep that together?
Yeah, I agree with basically what you said there. I mean, they're determined to clearly start this thing, and I think with the procedures they have in place, I think they'll probably be able to get it off of the ground at some point. But it's just a matter of, okay, how are they going to manage this thing when the games are being played and they're traveling to different cities and there's just all this new kind of movement involved, and obviously, like we saw with baseball, you know, they were able to get it off the ground, but all of a sudden they start traveling, and then a team gets it, and then whatever, it's not handled a great way, and all of a sudden there's an outbreak, and they have to shut it down. It's just that's the kind of the big question mark for me, and how I just wonder, you know, how are they going to get through the full season like this, and are there going to be stoppages? And that's really the biggest concern right now I would have is just, like, what is the viability of this season as it plays out?
As it is right now, speaking of Brandon Lee Gouton, Bleeding Green Nation. By the way, congratulations, almost 100,000 followers, Bleeding Green Nation on Twitter. So good luck with that and getting to that number there. Marquise Goodwin, we heard about yesterday. His wife, they've had three miscarriages, which is wild, just so sad. And we just watched the documentary, I believe it was an E60 put out by ESPN on their background. He opts out, I believe, because of the high risk, so that's $350,000. If correct me if I'm wrong, do you know if it's that number for him?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's either $350 or the $150 for voluntary, one of those two.
Are you hearing any other rumblings about players that are at least flirting with the idea of opting out with the Eagles?
No, and I guess for him, that's like kind of an obvious one. In hindsight, we all probably should have maybe taken a closer look at that. Just it makes so much sense for him. You know, he's lost 3 children. It's devastating. I can't even imagine what that's like. And just the way he kind of explained it, he said, you know, he can't put his family in harm's way or not be there for them, again. And he's already been through that. So you can't blame Mark Beast to win at all. And I don't know if there's really any other obvious candidates on the Eagles. Some people are like, oh, Carson Wentz has had a kid too. But yeah, I mean, it's just a little bit different there. I think Carson Wentz is, you know, a football maniac. He really loves that. Not to say he doesn't love his family too, but, I think he's a leader of the team and he feels responsibility. I don't know that anyone else jumps out as an obvious opt-out candidate. But again, there's still like a week's time here for players to decide. So, maybe guys change their mind. Again, maybe someone, like one of the key player opts out and another guy who isn't as good is thinking, okay, well, you know, the team's not going to even be as good this year. And maybe I shouldn't be doing this too if I'm kind of on the fence of what the safety is. So we'll see. We'll see. There's more time here for them to decide.
Brandon, let's go with the assumption that there is a 16-game season. Who starts the most games at left tackle for the Eagles and who starts the most games at right guard for the Eagles?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, they're going in with Andre Dillard as their starter. They obviously have some level of concern about him. They can try to say they don't or pretend that they don't, but I mean, it's very clear to me that there are reservations there internally. And that's not to say they don't have hope for him, because I think they clearly do, and they're going to give him this chance. But I mean, let's be realistic. You know, if he's out there and he's struggling, you know, how long of a leash does he have? How long until the Eagles, how long until maybe Jason Peters himself and says, hey, Andre, get out of here, and forces himself at left tackle. He's a future Hall of Famer. Like, why is he waiting around, especially maybe if he's not handling the transition to right guard, where, yes, I do think Jason Peters right now, you know, will be there. But that's the interesting dynamic. I don't think bringing Peters back, you can't say it had nothing to do with Andre Dillard. I just don't buy that.
Brandon, what is the biggest knock on Dillard? We hear kind of the mental stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's not big enough other times. Is he not grasping the system? What do you think is the breakdown of him?
Yeah, so based on just what we've heard and my co-host on BGN Radio, Beating the Nation's podcast, Jimmy Kempsey has talked about how he's heard there have been multiple incidents. There was the blow-up last year in training camp, which we all saw and we knew about, where Andre Dillard kind of got into it with Darius Barnett at one point, and Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson kind of had to talk to them after practice, and there kind of had to be like a calming of things. And, you know, from what the understanding is, that wasn't the only blow up. There kind of was. Now, that's the only one we saw, but there were kind of more during the season. So there's definitely a mental aspect here that the Eagles have been concerned about. Obviously, just didn't have the full, like, grown man strength that he needed in the NFL last year, was susceptible to the bull rush. Now, that's something I feel like he can work on, and I think he has worked on. Brandon Brooks said he's gained like 15, 20 pounds. That's a good sign in that regard. But yeah, I think it kind of comes down to the mental thing. You also have to consider kind of where he's coming from. You know, he's coming from playing at Washington State and the West Coast, and now he's in this, you know, a very big market and high pressure market. I think that's kind of another thing that the team feels, is just like he's making this big transition from markets, and it's just kind of, he has to understand there's a lot of more pressure here. So yeah, I think mental is a big part of it. Physical plays a part too, but I think he's worked on that. It's just kind of, okay, can he answer the questions mentally? Can he hold up?
Speaking with Brandon Lee Gowton, Bleeding Green Nation, as far as the wide receivers go, are we going to be okay in that department? How's that going to shake out for the Eagles and the targets Carson Wentz has to throw at?
Well, I mean, when you look at it, the Eagles enter the offseason with their biggest need, a wide receiver, clearly, no debate. And what did they really get at the end of the day? What was their most significant investment? Dylan Reagor, okay. I think he has promise. I think he has star potential.
Right.
But you look at Howie Roseman's track record with drafting wide receivers, it's not very good. So you can't just be like, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to work out.
Right.
You also look at the fact that, you know, shortened offseason, he's not going to have full time to adjust and learn like he would normally in the NFL. So it's kind of hard to just put these huge expectations on him right out of the gate. Same thing goes for the day three rookies, you know, Quez Watkins and John Hightower. I don't know how much they're really going to be able to contribute right away. And with losing Goodwin, I mean, those are the big three guys you really added to the wide receiver room this year. I mean, you're still relying on a Sean Jackson who is coming off injury and has missed an average of 5 games over the past 5 seasons. And clearly, you know, he's turning 34 this year. And it's just hard to imagine he's going to be playing for the full season, assuming all the games are even played. And then Alshon Jeffery is on PUP, and he's probably going to miss at least the first 6 weeks. And then you don't know how close to 100% he will be when he eventually does get on the field. So to me, you know, it's not a great situation. There's a lot more questions than answers, I would say, at the wide receiver position. And that's kind of concerning for a team that's gotten the position wrong and has kind of really, in my view, failed Carson Wentz too many times. And if you're an Eagles fan, you're looking at this and you're hoping that they're not in the same boat again.
The other, the guy that's actually throwing those receivers the ball, you just mentioned Carson Wentz. I don't really pay attention to the NFL top 100 that much. And I told myself I wasn't going to get sucked into this list. But then I looked at Josh Allen. Then I looked at Kyler Murray. Then I looked at Ryan Tannehill. Then I also looked at Dak Prescott in the top 50. And Carson Wentz not even on the list. Do we just overall overrate him in Philadelphia, or is this list as much of a sham as I thought it is?
Oh, it's interesting. I guess I think the list, obviously, this has been talked about, is kind of just like, it's really not even taken that seriously among players. Like, the process is kind of like they just hand out some papers, and it's not like guys are really sitting there and thinking about it and like really trying to make this a serious activity. It's kind of just like, I have to fill this out. Okay, let me do that real quick. And who should I even vote for? And do I just vote for my friend? Like, you know, so you have to consider some of it as that. But I mean, when you have Josh Allen, like you said, over Carson Wentz, I mean, that's not even close to being right. That's just ridiculous. I don't even know how you justify that. So I do think it's interesting, though. I guess it shows you that players just don't have that same kind of respect for Carson Wentz. But that's so strange to me, considering 2 years ago, they voted him as the third best player overall in the NFL. So I don't know how you go from that to, you know, not even making the top 100 a couple of years later. It's not like he's been terrible the past couple of seasons. And I think when you look at, you know, maybe why he hasn't been able to reach that level that he was at in 2017, again, you have to kind of blame some of the circumstances around him. And then he hasn't had a legitimate deep threat wide receiver the past 2 years. And the Eagles haven't given him the best tools to succeed. And I just think it's kind of unfortunate that his image and his reputation have suffered from that. But, you know, look, I'm sure Carson Wentz will be only motivated by this, or probably doesn't care, but whatever. I think he'll be on the top 100 next year or the season.
Brandon, with all the happenings of this offseason with the Eagles, including the Brandon Brooks injury, is this a better team than last year, the same, or maybe slightly worse?
I think they're in the same tier, same kind of conversation. I mean, I just still think they're kind of a 9-7, 10-6 team. That's where I'd put them at, ultimately. I think the wide receiver situation is just kind of dicey still. There's a lot of projection there. The offensive line could be a big setback, you know. Like you said, I mean, going from Jason Peters, who was aging, but still played at least above average, I would say. And if Dillard doesn't give you that, then that's a huge drop-off. And then Peters moving from left tackle to right guard at 30 years old, never having played really that position at all. I mean, that's just a big projection there. You know, there's talent here for sure. I don't think they're a bad team by any means, but I just don't know if they've really made that leap into like the elite tier. And really, you know, you can say the Eagles have made the playoffs the last 3 years, and they did. And they obviously won the Super Bowl in 2017. But like, you look at today's NFL, and it's not the teams that make the wild card that win the Super Bowl anymore. It's the teams at the top of the conferences. Like, it's the best teams in the league. And that's going to be even more important moving forward, considering, you know, it's not the top two teams that get the first round bye anymore. It's just that one seed. So I just don't think the Eagles have kind of made the leap into that tier yet. Now, if Carson Wentz can kind of elevate this team, which is possible, maybe I kind of look silly for saying this, and he kind of puts the team on his back. But I think the pressure is on him to do that. I don't think it's going to come naturally to them where it's going to be as easy for them as it was a couple of years ago.
Brandon, thank you so much for coming on with us. We really appreciate it as always. I know we'll catch up with you as the season progresses, hopefully. And good luck, 100,000 followers nearing that for Bleeding Green Nation, man. Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.